And the gospel is still spreading today. Amen. We are happy to be back. I went on a trip with our team to Alaska from the July 20th through 28th. We had a fantastic trip, and so we're going to share a little bit about that with you today. I've got a few different people that are going to come up and kind of share their perspective. But first, Brother Mark is going to come up, and he's going to just give us a kind of a snapshot of the week.
Thank you, Pastor. God is so good. I'm just so thankful to God for the provision for this trip. This is my fourth time going to Alaska, third time on the salmon frenzy thing, and this was by far the most meaningful to me. I thank the church for their faithfulness and for all the people that gave extra donations and everything. It made this trip possible for 16 of us to go, and we had some awesome youth that were just wonderful witnesses to Christ, and the other adults as well. My gift is in administration. My spiritual gifts are in administration and giving and exhortation, not in necessarily witnessing and disciple making. But that's okay, because I had plenty of those people with me, and they did an awesome job. So we flew out Tuesday before last from Charlotte to Phoenix. Everything was great, except, you know, all our bags arrived in Alaska, including all of the bags we thought we were going to be able to, carry on the plane with us. They told us in Charlotte, sorry, the plane's completely full. You can't take your carry-on bag. So we're all scrambling to try to get the earbuds and phone chargers and stuff to try to get up there. But everything went perfect. And all the bags arrived. We got in our place to sleep in Anchorage about 1:30 Alaska time, which is 5:30 a.m. Virginia time. And we had a good night's sleep and made our way down to Kenai Peninsula the next day. It was kind of rainy and cold that first day driving down there, but we still saw God's beauty everywhere, and it was so inspiring. We just got to see a lot of snow-capped mountains and beautiful rivers and lakes and stuff. The next 4 days, we were training on the beach, training on how to share the gospel with the residents, natives of Alaska. And again, our youth and other adults there just did an awesome job of working on the beach, helping the people. So they could catch their fish, mostly babysitting, watching their kids, playing on the bounce house and handing out free hot dogs. But, you know, our youth just did an amazing job. Leah and Emma just painted faces all day long, and Ruth made balloon animals all day long. And she's going to have to be checked for carpal tunnel syndrome, I think, this week. But and then everybody else was just walking the beach and talking to people, making relationships. We got to work with some awesome people from Texas, the Martins. Cade Martin and his wife and daughter were there, and their friend Elizabeth from their church. They worked with us all week. And then we had another group of 10 from a church in Kentucky near Bowling Green that were working with us. So we had 30-something people from the churches working on the beach. And we needed that many. It's a long day, and you just work hard. I'm sure they all thought, well, 3 days, playing on the beach, no big deal. But by Sunday night, they were already getting bed early. Nobody wanted to go out moose hunting Sunday night, So, and then we had a free day on Monday. We drove down to Seward, Alaska. It's a port city and a big fishing town, and we just kind of toured around there and got to see them weighing all their fish, and they brought them in off the boats, and just got to see some more beauty, on the trip down. Got to see some more moose, and we got to see bald eagles flying around everywhere. And got back Monday evening, and got some supper, and again, just everybody just wanted to go to bed. So, and then Tuesday we worked our way back to Anchorage for our flight Tuesday night at 11:15 Alaska time, which is 3:15 Virginia time. We left, but working our way back, we did get to stop at the Byron Glacier, and everybody wanted to slide on the glacier in their official Alaska glacier sliding gear, which is black trash bags. And you do need them, right, Penny? So, but I praise God for protecting us, for making everything just work out perfectly all week. All our bags made it back to Charlotte, no problems. The guitar made it back. We didn't have any issues whatsoever with travel, and that's just God taking care of us and y'all praying for us the whole time we were gone. But we did have some people that profess Christ with our group, and we prayed for. We had lots of Bible lessons and stories with the kids that hopefully they'll take home with them. It'll be meaningful to them. And, they'll start asking their parents, what about this Jesus? I want to learn more about him. And we made a lot of connections. We made a lot of good connections with the other folks that were working there. And this mission was really low-key this year. We were only working on two beaches because of last year. The participation just wasn't as much since there was nothing last year. It's going to take Brenda a while to build everything back up. And so she was very thankful to have us there. And she told us, on Sunday, the message, the service we had on the beach on Sunday was the best she'd ever seen. And Kevin's message was the best she'd ever heard in her whole time of doing it up there. So she was very thankful to have us. She's going to come visit us here in a couple months, I think. We're going to fly her out here so all y'all can meet Brenda, and she can tell you a little bit more about her vision and what she does up there. So thank you again. God bless you. I'll let some other people speak.
I do want to especially thank Mark for all his organization and administration on the trip. And that was a ministry to all of us that went, and it was such a huge blessing for us to be able to just serve and not worry about so many of the details. So thank you, Mark. I did also learn that Mark likes a break for moose. So if you ever ride behind Mark where there might be moose around, don't follow too close. Our adults, Mark mentioned our youth, but our adults did such an awesome job too. We're going to hear from a couple of them. Penny, would you come up and share?
All right, so originally I wasn't planning to talk, but when God says go and move, you listen. And I felt a heavy burden this morning that I was just supposed to briefly talk. And that is from the perspective of, for one, this mission trip for me was different because the mission trips that I've done in the past have all been me speaking through an interpreter. So to really be able just to talk one-on-one was a really cool experience. But what I had found from the Alaskan people, the beach that we were on, Kasilof, was mainly natives. The North Beach tends to be more people who come from Canada and kind of transplant themselves there, from what I gather from Brenda. And so it was really cool to get to be one-on-one with the natives there. And what I found was true vulnerability. And if you ask about their story, they will share. They are kind, and they are vulnerable and authentic. And so from that perspective, I wanted to kind of swing it back to us here and encourage you all in that we can do the same. And it's simply just having relationship with people and sharing. I don't know who's sitting here today struggling with what their story is. And that could be from the perspective of you're not a believer and your story is one that's heavy and you don't feel like you have worth. But God's redemptive story gives you worth. And that was our purpose in going, was to let people know. My sweet hubby made bracelets for us before we went with the three circles, which is what we share. And it starts with God's perfect love. We all go out of sorts, but it ends with his perfect love and us being restored back to him. And so my encouragement to you is, if you know him already, be vulnerable in your story. Some may have one that they think is not, maybe you've not walked through really hard things yet, but your story is yours. Some of you may have stories that are really dark, and you think, there's no way that I can tie that story in to what, to my faith walk. But you can, because I guarantee you that someone that you encounter is having those same difficulties. And so I just encourage you to be vulnerable with people. Share your story. One of the things Brenda asked us to do was, ask someone as you're having conversation, if Jesus could do one miracle in your life right now, what would it be? And see what that answer is and go from there and ask the Lord to help you. Don't keep silent. Share your story. Be vulnerable. Be authentic. Because I know for me this week that spoke a lot to me. I think that's the thing that stuck out the most. We have to remember that Jesus died for all, no matter what that looks like. He wants us to be in relationship with him, and it's our duty to share that with others. So that's just something I came away with, and just to encourage you that if you know him, share your story. The good, the bad, the ugly, because one, Jesus, God can handle it. And it might be exactly what that person needs at the moment. And if you don't know him, I know there's a lot of us. You can come and talk with me. Share your story. Start lifting that burden and asking Jesus to help you. So, that's it.
Amen. Thank you, Penny. Now, there were 16 of us on this trip. About 3 of those have been to Alaska. And so the rest of us, including myself, this was a first time to go on this trip. We also had a newbie to mission trips altogether. It took her very first mission trip this time. So, Dee Lankus, would you come and share real quick?
I didn't think I had that ability. And I know a lot of us out here think that you don't have special gifts, or you don't think that this is something that you could ever do in your life. God had a calling for me to go. I was on the fence for a while, and Erin Caldwell, she's not here today, but she when she did her speech about going to Alaska, I was just moved by the Holy Spirit, and I felt like I looked at my husband, Mark, that day, and I said, I need to go to this. And it was an amazing trip. I can't even stress how wonderful these guys were. Your church is so blessed with all these people that share God's love. And I never thought that I would be able to do that. And God showed me more on this trip than he has ever showed me ever in my life. And it was life-changing for me, myself. He wanted me to go, and there was a reason for me to go. And I give all the glory to him, because I'm not one to come up and speak. And Kevin asked me to do that. And it's only by God's Spirit that I'm here doing this in front of you. But I would encourage all of you that if you never went on a missions trip, don't think that you're not able to do that. Because like Penny said, it's about connecting to people and just sharing and listening and giving people your attention. And like she said, they were so nice and just so vulnerable, and they just wanted to talk. And we all can do that, and we all can share stories. We all have stories, like Penny said, and some of them are dark, and some of them are amazing, and we all are connected in that way, and God wants us to be able to share with each other. And basically, he wants us to be disciples, and that's what missions is about. And I thank you all for the support that you gave us all and the prayers, because we couldn't have done it without you, and I'm sure that we did amazing things for those kids and those adults that we talked to all over the beach. And we're planting seeds, and like Penny said, you don't have to go across North America to do that. We can do it right here in our own community. There's a lost and dying places here in Montgomery County and all over. And like she said, you just have to be willing to open up and share your story with others, whether it's at work or anywhere. Just be courageous. That was my word, courage. God gave me the courage to do that. Thank you.
You should have seen her. She was awesome, yeah. She was, in the weeks and months leading up, she was talking about how nervous she was, and but she did such a good job and had a lot of really good conversations on the beach, sharing God's love. And we saw some professions of faith while we were out on the beach, and there was a whole other group that was on a different beach that also saw some as well. And so we had a really good trip, and we do thank you for your prayer and your support. And I highly recommend, the plan is for us to go back again next year, and I highly recommend it. I was really impressed with Alaska Missions. Brenda Krim, who leads Alaska Missions, has a real heart for Alaska, for Alaskans, and especially for the natives there. And I could really connect with her heart for people. And it was fantastic. And so we do encourage you. Plan is to go next year, and I hope you can go with us. Hope we can take 30 people next year. Turn to Psalm chapter 32. This is definitely related to our Alaska trip, because this is a lot of the message that we took and the burden that we had. Psalm chapter 32. We're going to share this psalm just for a few minutes this morning, and the title is The Relief of Forgiveness. The Relief of Forgiveness. Psalm 32 says, "A maskil of David, blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters, they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. I remember back in middle school, one particular day during PE, sometimes our PE classes weren't necessarily super well supervised, but there was one day that we were out on the ball field, and there was me and another kid. You know, we would roughhouse from time to time, and this particular day, you know, we were just roughhousing, pushing on each other, and not even really wrestling, but just roughhousing like teenage boys do. And I remember that I got pretty aggressive, and I shoved this kid about as hard as I could to kind of just prove a point. And he lost his balance and he fell over. But when he fell over on this huge metal grater that was used to flatten out the infield. So there was this big, huge, rusty metal grater. When he fell over, he fell on that, and he busted his leg, like, wide open. It was pretty bad. And I knew instantly that, oh, gosh, I've overdone it. You know, he went and got some first aid. And the principal came to me, and he said, Kevin, what were y'all doing? He was pretty serious. He was trying to put a little bit of fear in me. He's like, that so-and-so really busted up their leg. He could have been seriously hurt, but he was, you know, he was kind of trying to protect you and cover for you. But I know you're getting too aggressive. And so after that conversation, I was really worried about getting in trouble, either from my parents or his parents, because this was going to need a doctor's visit and some stitches and those kind of things. So while I was worried about getting into trouble, for about a week, I was kind of watching over my shoulder and waiting for the hammer to fall, you know? And I had this anxiety about this situation. And then about a week later, my dad kind of casually brought up this, and he had found out about it because he worked with this kid's mom. And he said, Mrs. So-and-so told me the other day, she said, I hope Kevin doesn't feel bad about hurting my son's leg. And it wasn't in a passive-aggressive way. It was just in a sincere way. And he looked at her, and he's like, what are you talking about? I have no idea what you're talking about. And so she told him, and there wasn't really much ado about that because it really was an accident. There was nothing that had happened on purpose. But when my dad did bring that up, I had this huge sense of relief. This thing that I had been worried about for a week, I was glad that it was finally out in the open, and I didn't have to anticipate any kind of reckoning for that. It had kind of been dealt with, and now it was past. There wasn't going to be anything bad or dramatic to come from this. I was so relieved. Well, that's what we're talking about this morning, this topic of relief. Because sin is a heavy burden, and there is no burden in this world, and we carry all kinds of burdens. There's no burden in this world like the burden of sin and guilt. And everyone is a sinner. We've talked about this many times, and we're going to talk about it many times more. It's part of the gospel that we're born into this world as sinners. And so we all carry that burden, and we all have to deal with the reality that we are sinners, that we are guilty before a holy God. And so maybe you're here this morning and you have never dealt with that burden of guilt that is on you, currently on you this morning. Maybe you've stolen something that's not yours. Maybe you've been hiding sexual sin or some kind of pornography addiction. Maybe you've done something unethical or illegal at work that you have been trying to hide. Maybe you've abused someone, maybe emotionally or even physically. Maybe you've got some kind of addiction that you're ashamed of. But I can tell you this morning, from the authority of God's Word and the authority of specifically Psalm 32, that is a burden that can be lifted. You can find relief for that burden. Look here in Psalm 32. It says, a maskil of David. A maskil, nobody's really sure what that means. It's kind of a lost Hebrew word. It may have something to do with music terminology. It may have an idea of instruction or communicating wisdom. It says, a maskil of David. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and whose spirit there is no deceit. The word blessed here is, we usually think of it in a way of receiving a blessing, and that is true. But the word blessed here, it's more than that. It means happy. It means that a burden has been lifted, that there's no more stress over that, and that you have found relief. So blessed is the one, happy is the one whose transgression is forgiven. Transgression means that you've gone past a moral area that you had no business crossing. We are all transgressors, every single one of us. He says, blessed is the one whose sin is covered. Sin means to miss the mark. In some of that ancient literature, the word for sin was used for an archer who would be aiming at a target and would miss the target. It would fall short of that target. Well, we as sinners have missed the holy standard that is set by God. And God is holy in a positive sense. He is pure, but he is also in a category all by himself when it comes to righteousness, morality. And none of us can reach that standard. We've all fallen short. And he said, blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity. Iniquity is a moral uncleanness. And because of our transgressions, because of our sin, we have this weight, this tarnished nature about us. And it's sin. But the good news here is that that burden can be lifted. Our transgressions can be forgiven. Our sin can be covered, that is hidden. Our iniquity, God cannot count it, can bring us to a place where it's not counted against us. And then this last phrase he says, in whose spirit there is no deceit. That means there's an openness about them. So if you want to find relief from the burden of sin, it's only found in the person of Jesus Christ and what he has done. You don't find relief from the burden of sin by making your life better. Yeah, that might soothe your conscience a little bit, but it's not going to take away the guilt. It's not going to take away the burden. So real quickly, four things I want us to see from this passage. First of all, a guilty conscience takes a toll. A guilty conscience takes a toll. Verse 3, for when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. This guilty conscience that David was carrying around, it's very possible that he is referring to the time in his life when he had committed adultery with Bathsheba, and then he had orchestrated the manner in which her husband would be killed to try to cover up his own sin. This might be what he's referring back to. We know Psalm 51, which is a psalm of repentance, is referring to that episode in his life. But either way, David is speaking from experience that there was a time in his life where he was guilty before God and he was trying to hide his sin. But he said as he tried to hide his sin that it took a toll on his life. And actually it took a physical toll. We know sin may take an emotional toll. It takes a spiritual toll, but it may even take a physical toll on our lives. Now, there are the natural consequences of sin. If you make bad decisions with your body for 50 years, that's going to catch up with you eventually, with maybe your liver, your heart, whatever. There are natural consequences to sin, but then there are these emotional consequences, and sometimes even physical consequences. Whatever David was going through here, it not only affected his psyche, but it affected him physically. And sin can do that. That might be some of the stuff that you're experiencing this morning. Sometimes, not in all cases, but sometimes depression and emotional issues are results of sin. Now, I'm not saying that depression is always because of sin. But sometimes when depression is present, sin needs to be addressed. And that's not something you should glance over. That might be an issue that needs to be dealt with in your life. Yeah, your thinking might be an issue, your cognitive thinking, your anxiety, and all these things can be dealt with. But don't forget to deal with the issue of sin. Guilty conscience takes a toll. Next, in verse 5, we see God will forgive us when we acknowledge and confess our sins. He says, I acknowledged my sin to you. That there was a time he was trying to hide it, but then there it came to a point where he realized, I just have to come clean. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And what happened when he did that? When he acknowledged, when he confessed, what happened? And you forgave the iniquity of my sin. The moral uncleanness that came along with that, God will forgive. In fact, you see here several times that word Selah that is used at the end of verse 4, at the end of verse 5, at the end of verse 7. Selah, it's just a term to mean it's a pause. It's a pause in the song in order to think about what you just heard. So if we confess, if we acknowledge our sin, what will happen? God will forgive our sin. And this appears to be in the case of someone who is already a believer. They haven't lost their salvation, but they have certainly lost fellowship with God. But God will forgive us when we acknowledge and confess our sin. Next, God is the way out of the problem. God is the way out of the problem. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters, they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. So the issue is when we're trying to hide sin, we're trying to hide from God, which can't happen. It's an impossible task. How much of stress and how much of a burden does it take to do something that's impossible? Things that are possible are stressful enough on their own, but when we're trying to do things that is not humanly possible, it's even worse. And our relationship with God, the way God made us, is that we are supposed to relate in harmony with Him. But of course, the problem of sin has occurred. But the way God made us is that we are supposed to find a refuge in Him, a fortress. When things are difficult, we don't run from God. We don't blame God, which a lot of times tends to be our go-to. We look at God and say, God, look what you've done in my life. And so we try to fix things on our own. But God is not the problem. I think God is not the problem. God is the way out of the problem. That credit for that specific phrase should go to a guy named James McDonald, who since ministry has gone south, but that's such a powerful statement. God is not the problem. God is the way out of the problem. And so God is our refuge. And for the believer who is walking in fellowship with God, you don't have to hide from God. You don't have to hide from people. You can actually go run toward God and have the backing of God. But it is absolutely necessary for acknowledgement of sin and confession. And only then can you find a refuge in God. Peter Craigie said, when there is no confession, the waters pile up behind the dam, creating immense pressures on the wall. But as soon as the floodgate is opened, the waters subside and the pressures diminish. And how is that pressure? Acknowledgement of sin and confession. That's how the pressure and the weight of sin is relieved. And the gospel is this, that we were sinners, but Jesus Christ died in our place for our sin. And he takes that moral guilt away and actually puts it on his own account. And on our account is placed his righteousness instead of our guilt. And so from that, we can walk in freedom. We can walk in liberty, knowing that the God of the universe has actually approved of us. And it's not because of our behavior. It's because of what his Son did on our behalf. And so if you're here this morning and you're suffering from the weight, the burden of sin and guilt, why not find relief today? Why not this moment? There's nothing that you can fix in order to take away that guilt and burden. Jesus Christ is the only one that can do that. Lastly, this morning, we find in this passage, surrender is the best path. Surrender is the best path. Verse 8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. I believe this is David still speaking, and he's saying, look, I'm going to give you some really good advice. Here's some advice from a veteran believer who's tried to hide his sin, who hasn't walked with God all the time. Take this advice. Verse 9, be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. He's saying, don't be like a dumb animal. Don't be like a stubborn mule that God has to set back straight on the path over and over and over. In fact, surrender to God's leading. Surrender to God's wisdom. Surrender to God's direction. And God's given us all of that in his word. That's where we find it. And stubbornness is a hard path. Many, verse 10, many are the sorrows of the wicked. And here's a contrast. But steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Who's going to have an easier life? Or who's going to have an easier path? The person who is fighting against God constantly, or the person who submits and surrenders to God? It's going to be the person that submits and surrenders to God. That doesn't mean life is always going to be easy. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We'll have our things to face, but you'll be able to walk with the relief that you're not in opposition to the God of the universe. You'll no longer have that feeling like karma is always out to get you, because you will know, you will acknowledge, and you will know that the God of the universe is on your side because of what Christ has done. Surrender is the best path. It's John Wayne's gotten the credit for this quote. I'm not sure who originally said it, but he said, life is hard. It's harder if you're stupid. All right? And it is stupid to fight against God. So don't be like a dumb animal. Don't take pride in being a stubborn mule. Lost people do that, don't they? They'll take pride for being a jerk, for being a difficult person, for all of these things. But we're not supposed to take pride in being difficult, in being stubborn. A guilty conscience takes a toll. God is the way out of the problem. Sorry, God will forgive us when we acknowledge and confess our sin. God is the way out of the problem, and surrender is the best path. George Mueller is one of my heroes of the faith. George Mueller lived in the 1800s. He was responsible for running several orphanages in Bristol, England. One of the things I really respect and admire about him is he committed very on in his ministry never to fundraise or ask for money. And so many times he and his ministry and family went day to day just waiting, asking God directly for provision. But as part of his heart for following God, God put in his heart to do these orphanages in the England area. And there's one specific case by a boy named Jack. He was a difficult kid. Carol Purvis, who wrote a biography about George Mueller, he said that this kid named Jack, before coming to the home, he had been a liar, he had been a thief, and he had been a mischief maker. And 3 years later, he was still a liar, he was still a thief, and he was still a mischief maker. And so there were occasions where some of these kids had to be dismissed from the home because they just couldn't be taken care of. And this particular kid had tried to run away several times, stealing some of the personal possessions of some of the other kids, and so they would have to be released to some kind of foster family, supporting family, or whatever. And of course, Mueller hated to do that, but when that did occur, a child would be brought before all the other kids. It would be said what is happening, and Mueller would pray over the child before he left. Well, in this one case, Jack stood there, and he was so defiant. He didn't like the discipline. He didn't like the structure of the home. And he stood there as George Mueller began to pray over him. He just stood stone-faced, stubborn, and even refused to close his eyes when prayer was being made. But while George Mueller was praying for him, Jack said he will never forget. He looked up, and as George Mueller was praying, there were tears falling from his eyes. And Jack said that it was at that moment, that day, that he became a convert of Jesus Christ. Know this. Know that if you reject the grace and forgiveness of God, if you reject Jesus, you are rejecting a Savior that loves you and wants the best for you. A Savior who will one day dismiss you with tears in his eyes, having done everything possible for you to become his child. To the extent that Jesus went to an old rugged cross where criminals should have been, and he died in our place. That's the love and that's the grace and forgiveness that God offers for us. If you're here this morning, if you're part of Hope Valley and you say, you know what, Kevin, I would love, by show of hand, you say, I would love to have the opportunity to talk with someone about Jesus and share the gospel more with them. You're here this morning, you just say, I am comfortable sharing the gospel and talking more with someone about this. Would you just raise your hand? If you're here, you say, I am comfortable doing that. I would love to talk. Keep your hand raised, please. I want people to look around. This is the invitation this morning. See the hands that are raised. If you want to talk more about this, these are people that you can talk to. You can do it immediately after the service, and I urge you to do just that. And, of course, I have the personal invitation to do that with me as well. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. The worship team's going to come forward. What a powerful message that God has for us in this psalm, that there is forgiveness, there is relief. There is a blessing that is found in forgiveness. That the burden that you carry, the baggage that you drag behind you, that you drug behind you for years, maybe it goes all the way back to when you were a kid. Maybe it's something that happened before you were married or early on in your marriage or just some kind of sin that you are trying to get rid of on your own. It won't work. You can never do it. You may be able to soothe your conscience for a while, but ultimately, Jesus Christ is the only one that can give you relief of that burden. And I urge you today, see one of those hands that was raised if you have more questions. But you can become a believer right where you're at. It's a matter of turning from your sin, acknowledging it for what it is, and just saying, God, I need Christ to be my Savior. I want to start a relationship with you today. I believe that he died on the cross for my sins and that he rose again from the dead and that he is Lord. That can happen right where you're sitting. Maybe you're a believer and like in David's life, he tried to hide sin for a while. I urge you this morning, come clean. Come clean before God. Come clean before your parents. Come clean before your friends and your family. Just come clean. There's no reason to carry a burden that you're never meant to carry. Father, thank you for the salvation that is only available in Jesus. Lord, you are incredible in the grace that you have given to us, that you've made available for each and every person. Lord, if there is someone this morning that has not received Christ as their Savior, may that be done today. Lord, help them to realize the seriousness of sin. And for the first time, come to Jesus. And Lord, for believers who are living miserable lives, Lord, and there's sin that's being hidden or not acknowledged, make me aware of sin that is in my heart and in my life. And Lord, we want to repent. We want to confess and repent where sin is present. Lord, we want to live this blessed life where we're not carrying this junk around. I thank you for what you've done on our behalf. In Jesus' name, amen.